Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Andrew Shatkin Show on every evening, 6:30, 8 o'clock, 9:30, 10 or 11, and you will get the facts and the truth, and nothing but the facts and the truth on this show. And I am going to talk about tonight, I talk about many topics on this show, including theology, since I am an MDiv from Princeton Seminary, and I'm a very dedicated believing Christian, and I am... this show is a Christian show in many respects, though I welcome all faiths. And I want to say that welcome all, died for you and came for you and wants to be with you. As does Timothy, as it says in the letter to Timothy, he wills that all men be with him in heaven and be saved. Now, I'm going to talk about today a particular topic that's very dear and clear to me. And this topic is a portrait of my mother. It is a that is really what it is about. Let me just give you an idea of the structure of this particular topic. It's called My Mother, a Memory. My mother was a very, very active churchgoer and Bible reader her entire life. And she left an indelible memory on my thinking and convinced me to lead the Christian life in many ways by her example. So I'm going to talk about tonight the memory of my mother, what she was like, what she meant to me, what she represented, and what she said in her life about herself and about life itself. And the main thing is my mother was a dedicated Christian. I saw her reading the Bible every day in our house. I saw her playing hymns on the piano every day in my house. And there wasn't a Sunday when she didn't attend church and come with her family if she could. I will now discuss my mother, but I'm going to give a little bit of a background about me so you have a sense of where I'm coming from in this show and why I'm talking about my mother and why my mother is so important to me. She's gone to her reward. She's in heaven with Christ and the saints of the church, and I know she is, but I want to talk about her because I want to talk about her great, great, dedicated Christian faith, which represented her whole life in service to her family and to others. Just let me give you a sense of what this show is. It's a politically incorrect show. We don't go in for political correctness. We don't go in for media hype, media falsehoods. We go in for critical thinking. We go in for getting at the truth and getting at the facts. We don't go in for political rhetoric or propaganda or the big lie. Not interested, not concerned with it. We're not concerned with lies. We're concerned with truth in this show. And the truth is obtained through reflection, thought, and, I think, reading the great books of the West. Whether War and Peace, whether Milton's Paradise Lost, whether St. Augustine's Confessions, whether Bonhoeffer, whether T.S. Eliot, all these are the greats that lead me to truth in many ways. Second thing is, it's a Christian show. I'm a Christian, and I follow the full authority of Holy Scripture from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation. And I also follow the creeds of the church, Athanasian, Apostles, and Nicene Creed. And if I read books, I read St. Augustine, I read Bonhoeffer, I read Calvin, I read Luther, I read Binion, I read T.S. Eliot. These are the people that lead me to facts and truth. And also, as I said, I am a Christian, but I welcome all faiths and all races and all nations and all ideas and all opinions, because I know that Jesus welcomes them and died for everybody in the world without question. Everybody, every man and woman. I include my dear gay brothers and sisters and my Muslim brothers and sisters. He welcomes them. He loves them. He wants them to, everyone to be with him and share the joy, his joy with the saints and the angels in heaven. As it says in Timothy, and I'll say, Timothy, God wills that all men be with him and be saved. He wills it, he wants it, and if he can do it, he does it. Next, this show has a political influence. I'm generally conservative, but I'm very concerned with the poor, which is, you might say, a left-wing concern. Whatever left-wing or right-wing, I know that Jesus has great concern for the poor. He himself took on poverty and lived a life of poverty, and he chose his disciples tradesmen and not so well-educated or wealthy people. Poor, if you will. Many of his followers were sinners, mainly ritual law sinners and moral law sinners. They were the lower end of society for the most part, and they were not the top people. These are the people that he dedicated himself and that followed him. And today, to this day, it is the poor that he attracts, not the wealthy, not the secular, not those people. He do not attract him, but the poor in the world, the disaffected, the limited people and resources, they follow him and will follow him to this day. He said to the rich young man, if you want to have eternal life, you have to give up all your goods. The young man couldn't do it. So Jesus made it clear in that particular passage that poverty is something that if you can undertake it, it's God's will. But if you cannot, it's fine. Next, I run two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show. These shows have a Christian orientation. Almost 5,000 people have visited my podcast show. Many have visited my blog talk radio show, particularly from Saudi Arabia and Arab countries and European countries also. I'm pleased to say that many of our Muslim brothers and sisters have visited this Christian show. And I'm also pleased to say that I have a Muslim friend, an Iranian philosophy student in Iran, who was very pleased with reading my Christian books. Even though a Muslim, she was open-minded enough and intelligent enough to read those books and to absorb them and to understand them. Smart lady? No? Okay. Smart people think. Smart people are open to influences. Smart people listen. Stupid people close themselves off and don't talk to anybody or don't want to know anybody. Well, they don't want to know anything but themselves. That's their choice. That's not my choice. My choice is Milton, who, while he was blind, wrote Paradise Lost and wrote Paradise Regained and Samson Agonistes. That's my choice. The blind Milton, who wrote these very great, great books. That's my choice. My choice is E.M. Forster, Howard's End, and Passage to India. My choice is T.S. Eliot. My choice is John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress or his autobiography, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. These are my choices. I suggest, ladies and gentlemen, that you make those choices in your life to gain some knowledge of truth and facts, which is really the object of anybody's life, to get at the truth and get at the facts and not be made a fool of by the media. If you want to be made a fool of, and not read War and Peace and Resurrection by Tolstoy or Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment, don't read it. Read some modern book, which has been assigned by some teacher whose knowledge is limited or wants you to have knowledge, limited knowledge. That's all right. Don't read these great books. Read the garbage, and you end up in a garbage can, an intellectual garbage can. For sure. Next, I've written 10 books. I'm an author. These books are both legal books and Christian books. Legal books have been Select Legal Topics, Volume 1 and 2. My Christian books have been Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy. A book on the parables. I recommend reading the parables, ladies and gentlemen. They are the heart of Jesus' thinking. They are the heart of the mind of the Son of God. They cannot exhaust the resources found in the parables, the resources of thought. I've recently written a book on the interpreting all 150 Psalms. The Psalms are the manna of the church, so John Dud said. The great Anglican poet, he said they were the manna of the church. They are the spiritual food for all men and women in the world, and they are great literary Hebrew parallel lyric poetry. The Psalms are great lyric poetry, and they are great spiritual treasures offered by God to all mankind. When you have, you will never tire of reading the Psalms in any translation, but you will tire of other books in a translation. You will not tire of reading the Psalms. I guarantee it. I've written other books. I'm writing other books, four blogs of my books, the blogs, which I'm putting together into four books. I'm writing a book on the miracles in the Miracle Bible. I've written one chapter of that. I've written a book on evidence, in Bender's Consolidated Evidence. I've written a chapter on evidence. I've written the chapter on paternity in New York Family Law and Practice. I've written the chapter on criminal law demands and notices in New York Jurisprudence. It's an encyclopedia. I wrote an encyclopedia article on New York criminal law in that particular organ. I've also written a number of very extensive law review articles, one in the Syracuse Law Review on Criminal Procedure, bought by the United States Supreme Court and by the State Department. I've written a book on sexual orientation discrimination, which I oppose, even though I may not agree with my gay brothers and sisters. On a moral basis, I find no reason to discriminate against them or damage them or hurt them in any way. I think they should be accepted by and loved by society, and I want them to be in heaven with me with Christ. That is what I want for them. I'm not interested in discrimination. I'm interested in having them saved along with the rest of humanity. Next, I've written an article. That's in the Albanian Scientific Journal, Academicus. I wrote another article, Academicus, on the United States educational system. That article also was well-received, and I think I critiqued the problem with the United States educational system in imbuing people with propaganda rather than truth and facts. That's as much as I'm going to say about myself, where I'm coming from in this show. And I'm going to talk about my mother, who may her soul rest in peace. I'll never forget her my entire life. And I want to talk about her today because I think she was a great person, a humble person, and I want to talk about her. My mother and memory, you'll find this essay on my mother as a memory of my mother in the book Essays in the Christian Worldview. It's on page, hold on, it's on page 12 and 13. I'm going to kind of quote from it a little bit to give you an impression of why my mother made such a profound impression on me. She died on December 12, 1999. She had been ill for a long time. She had had falls, a broken leg, a broken shoulder, loss of vision in one eye, a cataract in the other. She originally spent her life in Queens in New York City, in Manhattan, where she was born, but she moved to Boston, Massachusetts when the end came. She was taken care of by my sister Margaret, a college professor in Boston College. She had come to Boston from her home in New York in 1994 after two falls, two hospitalizations, and two periods of recuperation, and she could no longer take care of, as a wife, my father, who was elderly and ailed, and as a mother, and she could no longer take care of her three grown children, even though she may have wanted to. But for her family, I do recall, I know this about her, that she wanted to take care of people, but she couldn't do it any longer, even though that was her calling in life, take care of others. And that made her a great Christian for me. And I know that I remember as my mother, three grown children and my father, she never failed to have dinner on Sunday for the family until her body could never allow her to do so. In 1994, she was forced to leave the home in which my sisters and two had grown up from childhood to adolescence, then to adulthood. So that's about the end. She had to leave family house in Queens, in New York, and she couldn't take care of anybody after her body wouldn't let her do it. She was forced to leave in which the home in which my family had grown up. Then, after a year of almost refusing to get out of bed and refusing to eat, she was hospitalized in Massachusetts General Hospital with an infection that pulled her down and killed her at the age of 84. So that was her life and the end of her life, a life of service and love to others. And her heart stopped one day. And this devoted wife and mother, whose life was a gift of love and the service of others, ceased to live. So this woman, who served her family throughout her life, took care of her husband, took care of her children, she was forced to leave, and eventually she passed. This devoted wife and mother, whose life was a gift of love to the service of others, ceased to live. When I heard the news over the phone from my sister, I felt the loss with a sense of relief that I was over. It was a sense of relief, but I didn't understand the depth of my loss. Let me give you a little picture of my mother, that I see her as a person. From my earliest years, I see my mother reading. First, I didn't know what she read, but I knew that somehow I wanted to be like that, a lover of literature. So there was never a day passed in which she did not read the King James Version of the English Bible in her daily reading, often at night. And she wore out three Bibles in Bible reading. Of my earliest years, I see my mother reading constantly. I didn't know what she read, but I did know that I wanted to be like her, a lover of literature. Later, I came to know very early that not a day passed that she hadn't read the King James Version of the English Bible in her daily reading, and often at night, she wore out three Bibles. I also remember one summer, she told me she was reading all the works of Dickens, which I did too, later in my life. One summer, she told me she was reading all of Charles Dickens. Another year, I see her reading all of Calvin's Institutes of the Christian Religion. And by the way, Calvin's Institute of the Christian Religion is a great book. It's a wonderful book. It's a compendium of Christian religious dogmatic thought. I recommend it to everyone. But I remember that one day I saw her, day after day, night after night, reading all of Calvin's Institutes of the Christian Religion. Again, I see my mother at the piano, playing her favorite German leader, and playing the great hymns of the Protestant Church. No Sunday passed when she did not attend church. I see my mother on the piano, playing her favorite German leader, and playing and singing the great hymns of the Protestant Church. She loved those hymns, and those hymns are favorites of mine. My mother lived and loved both music and literature. As I say, she would play the hymns, great hymns of the church at the piano. She read all of Dickens one summer, and she read Calvin's Institute of the Christian Religion one summer. And I see her at the piano playing her, singing her great hymns of the Protestant Church and playing her favorite German leader. Not one Sunday passed when she did not attend church. My mother, this is what she was. She loved music and literature. She knew Latin. She spoke fluent Spanish, was well-read in German poetry. And when my sister studied Greek, ancient Greek with her in college, she studied with her at home. My mother loved music and literature because it was the work of Christ. She knew Latin, spoke fluent Spanish, was well-read in German poetry. And then when my sister studied ancient Greek in college, she studied with her at home. What can I say of my mother? She loved the church and loved Jesus of Nazareth, and she loved music and literature as an expression of her love for God and Christ. She loved the church, she loved Jesus, and she loved music and literature as an expression of her love for God and Christ. And I say this about her despite her education and knowledge and humanistic values, she lived a humble life of giving, not taking, loving, not grasping, always do the humble work of a wife and mother, and never asking or seeking recompense. She spent a short time on earth in her church, her husband, and her children. So despite her education and humanistic values, her love of music and her love of literature, and as an expression of her love for God and Christ, she lived a life of giving, not taking, loving, not grasping, always doing the humble work of a wife and mother, and never asking or seeking recompense. She spent a short time on earth for her church, her husband, and her children. That's who she loved. That's who she was dedicated to, the life of others, whether her children, whether her husband, whether her church. I have to say, sad to say, I don't have her any longer, but not a day or half is when I don't think of her, her love, her compassion, her selflessness, and her devotion to things outside of herself, which make us a little more human than we could possibly be. I don't have her any longer, but not an hour passes when I don't think of her, seeing, playing the great hymns of the church on the piano, reading the great Christian authors, whether Calvin or others, reading German poetry. She knew Latin. She spoke Spanish. And when my sister studied Greek, she wanted to study too. I know this about her. She loved the church and loved Jesus and loved music and literature as an expression of her love for God and Christ. And despite her significant education, she lived a life of humble giving, not taking, loving her family, not grasping, always do the humble, lowly work of a wife and mother, and never asking or seeking money. She spent her short time on earth for her church, her husband, and her children. She spent her whole short time on earth in the service and love of others. I don't have her any longer, but not a day passes when I don't think of her, her love, her compassion, her selflessness, and her devotion to things outside of herself, whether the church, whether Christ, whether her husband, whether her family. I compare my egotism, selfishness, greed, and desire for power with her life of sacrifice. I find myself wanting, yet I know I still see her before me, her face before me, even in death, granting me her forgiveness and excusing my limited thinking and stupidity. That's what I see. I see, compare my egotism, selfishness, and desire for greed and power with her life of sacrifice, and I find myself wanting, yet I know that I still see her face, even in death, granting me her forgiveness and excusing my stupidity. I hope you've enjoyed this portrait of my mother. I may do it again one night and speak more about her. But you can find this memory of my mother in Chapter 1 of my book, Essays in the Christian Worldview, on pages 12 and 13. I hope you've enjoyed this impression I've given and found value from it. And I hope you understand my mother better than I could ever understand her in this portrait. Thank you very much, and I hope you've enjoyed it.